Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, Senior Currency Analyst at MUFG. It's Friday, 21st October 2022, and joining Lee to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Michael Owen, MUFG's Head of Global Client Desk for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Lee.
Hi, Michael.
It's been quite an unbelievable week in UK politics. Could you please update our listeners on what you expect next week and what your views are and the implications specifically on GBP?
Yes, Michael, another very volatile week for the gilt market and the pound. At the start of the week, we obviously had the announcement from the new Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, outlining further reversals of the Truss government's tax-cutting plans. They've now reversed, what, $32 billion of the original $45 billion of tax cuts. So that agenda has been kind of thrown in the bin. And he also outlined as well that they're going to look into plans to cut back government spending as well. So I think the message from the government is that they're very keen to try and regain market confidence and to get the fiscal finances on a better footing going forward. But like I said, Michael, as the week has progressed, uncertainty has come back into the gilt market. And that's obviously on the back of the announcement from Prime Minister Liz Truss to step down. And that's opened up another can of worms in terms of political uncertainty. And obviously next week is going to be another big week in the UK from a political standpoint, where the Conservative Party are going to fast track their procedures to appoint a new Prime Minister by the end of next week. And at the moment, we see kind of three main candidates who are the kind of favourites to become the next Prime Minister. Most likely at this stage is the former Chancellor Rishi Sunak. I think he would be the most welcome from market participants. He's clearly backed in the past plans for fiscal consolidation, and I think that would be the best outcome for stability in the gilt market going forward. And then I guess more of a kind of wild card, more uncertain outcome for markets would be if former Prime Minister Boris Johnson was to throw his hat into the ring, and then if he was able to get support from at least 100 MPs, then that would increase the likelihood of him being re-elected as Prime Minister. And I think at the moment, in our view, that would probably be seen as the most unfriendly market outcome, because it would open up a lot more uncertainty for markets. Firstly, markets would be questioning whether he would stick to Jeremy Hunt's plans for fiscal consolidation and further plans to cut government spending going forward, given that, given his time in power before, he was very much supporting looser fiscal policy and certainly put in place a big increase in government spending. So that would be certainly unfavourable for the gilt market. And then in addition to that as well would be the uncertainty over just how stable would a government be under Boris Johnson. Obviously, we know just earlier this year he was removed from power, and there was a considerable number of MPs who voted to remove him from power. So would he be able to command a majority in Parliament if he was to win that leadership election? There's certainly major doubts over that. And so we could quickly find ourselves in a situation where we go towards another very unstable government. And I think for markets right now in the UK, what they want is more stability and a continued shift towards tighter fiscal policy to try and regain confidence in the gilt market. So for us, in terms of our outlook for the pound, we think all of this risk is ultimately pound negative. The additional political uncertainty, the shift towards tighter fiscal policy, and as we've seen as well, financial conditions in the UK have also tightened significantly since the mini budget. And even if those financial conditions were to improve going forward, they're still likely to remain a lot tighter than they would have been otherwise. So to us, that all increases the risk of a sharper slowdown for the UK economy, or more prolonged period of recession going forward. So to us, it still justifies the a weaker pound going forward.
Thanks, Lee. And today we had another big move in Japanese yen above the key 150 level. I think many participants are questioning now if this is what's considered an orderly move or not, and perhaps waiting for intervention. We have the Bank of Japan this week coming up. So what are you looking out for?
Yeah, we've seen another big move over the past week in dollar yen, with the pace of the yen sell-off certainly accelerating, I would say, over the past week when we broke through the 150 level. So to us, that is increasing the risk of further intervention from the Japanese authorities, as they've very clearly stated that it's about the pace of the yen sell-off, which is what ultimately will trigger intervention. And as we've been saying, that pace of the sell-off is accelerating again. So we certainly wouldn't be surprised if they step back into the market next week to support the yen and to try and slow the pace of the sell-off that we're seeing. But we don't think the scale of yen weakness on its own at this stage is going to be sufficient to trigger any change in BOJ policy next week. We're expecting the BOJ to stick with their current yield curve control policy settings. And that's obviously been a key factor which is contributing to the yen sell-off. So if we don't see any change in BOJ policy next week, then yeah, the fundamentals still point towards further yen weakness. And it's difficult to see really what the authorities in Japan can do in terms of intervention. At best, all it does is slow the pace of yen weakness. It's not going to be sufficient on its own to reverse the weakening trend for the yen. So yeah, that's our outlook. We still think ultimately dollar yen can go higher from here, and until we see a shift in BOJ policy, a shift in Fed policy, or potentially a bigger and sharper sell-off in global risk assets, then difficult to see this trend turning around for dollar yen.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. And finally, what else should we look out for next week, aside from the events that we've already mentioned?
Yeah, next week we've got a couple of other central bank meetings with the Bank of Canada and the ECB meeting. For the Bank of Canada, the market has been moving over the past week to price in a higher probability of them delivering another 75 basis point hike next week rather than slowing down to 50 basis points. On our view, we think it makes more sense that the Bank of Canada delivers a smaller 50 basis points hike. We feel that their policy rate now is moving into more restrictive territory. And I think in Canada, there is clearer evidence that the labor market is weakening in response to higher rates. And to us, that makes sense from a kind of interest rate sensitivity point of view, because Canada's economy, we do think, is going to be more sensitive to higher rates than, say, the US economy, given the very high levels of household debt in Canada. So we would argue that the Bank of Canada should start to become more cautious about tightening policy before the Fed, which we think ultimately supports our view that dollar CAD will continue to move higher from here and test the 140 level. And then the other central bank meeting to watch out for next week is the ECB policy meeting. We're expecting the ECB to deliver another hawkish policy update next week, delivering a second consecutive 75 basis point rate hike. And to us, that's justified by the inflation dynamics in the Eurozone right now. The headline inflation now close to 10% in Europe, and the policy rate still below 1% still tells you that the ECB has a lot to do still in terms of catch up to tighten policy in Europe. So I think another 75 basis points next week, and also keeping the door open to the potential for a further large 75 basis points at the final meeting this year in December. And I think markets will be looking to see if there's also any further discussions over their plans to tighten policy by shrinking their balance sheet next year. Already heard some discussions are underway about allowing their QE holdings to roll off their balance sheet. We don't think that's likely to take place later this year. I think it's still more a story for the first half of next year. But yeah, certainly the direction of policy travel at the ECB is still very much in the more hawkish direction. And we think ultimately that is helping to support the euro. I mean, if you look at the performance of the euro against the dollar, it's not so evident from that perspective. Euro dollar has been relatively sort of stable and trading within a kind of tight range between 95 and parity over the last month or two. But if you look at euro performance against other G10 currencies outside of the dollar, we've actually seen the euro strengthen very sharply by almost 6% since around the 22nd, 23rd of August, which was the kind of worst point for euro performance recently. And I think to us, a good part of that rebound story for the euro is driven by this hawkish repricing of ECB rate hike expectations. So I think if we get another hawkish message from the ECB in the week ahead, we do expect the euro to continue to outperform, especially against currencies other than the dollar.
Thanks very much, Lee, and wishing everyone a good week ahead.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.